What are we? What makes us what we are? And what we're gonna be? I think it's that right there. It's grit. It's grit.
Lions fans, how we doing? This is another episode of the All Grit Podcast. We are stoked. We are excited. We got a big game this weekend versus the Bills. And you know what? We're feeling a little confident. You know, last week we were feeling a little, you know, uneasy. We had these injuries and whatnot. But waking up this morning, it just something feels different. Something feels different. And if you've seen on socials, the team's wearing their all black unis. I know that's Clay's favorite uni. We got the black shirts on to represent the team if you're watching us on YouTube. So we're excited. We got a special guest today. We got an awesome episode. But before we jump in, we just want to give a shout out to one of our everydayers, one of our listeners, Jonathan McEwen, man. He has been one of our patrons, one of our donors. So we just want to give him a shout out. Love the guy. So we do take donations through PayPal. We're at All Grit Pod. That's grit with two T's. If you want to send something our way, our goal is $200 to be able to pay the bills for the streaming service and everything that makes it possible to get to the network where you listen on. So shout out to Jonathan for helping us out. Awesome. So we got an awesome guest today. Love the guy. Known him for a long time. Straight out of Greenville, Michigan. That's right. Greenville. We got Curtis Long.
Hey.
How we doing, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. Just one thing on John. He's a liar. So just you want to...
You know John.
Yeah, I know John. He's great. Just kidding.
Sounds like John owes you money or something.
Well, we'll save that for post.
Awesome. We got Clay with us today. Clay's a rock. So let's get rolling, fellas. So not many listeners might know you, Curtis. Curtis has been a longtime Lions fan. And if you guys are watching on YouTube, he's got something to prove that he's been a longtime Lions fan. Curtis was showing us right before the show. You want to show him your hat, Curtis?
Yeah, it's seen a little weather. I can't really wear it backwards.
So he's got his lucky Lions hat, his go-to Lions hat, and it is tore up. If you guys haven't seen it, if you're just listening, he has got just a torn up hat. Do you wear that every time you watch or
what's the most? I try to every game. I try to wear this sweater and the hat. Awesome.
I love it.
You got to have tradition.
I feel like it's been through the worst, you know, through the Patricia era. You probably like threw it a few times. Probably stopped.
Yeah, it hit the floor many a time.
Set it on fire a couple of times.
The wall, yeah. In the oven, you know.
I hate this team. No, that's awesome, dude. It's nice to see another Lions fan that's been through it, that just knows the trauma and can appreciate the good times we're having now. So awesome, man. From your perspective, Kurt, what are your thoughts on just the team right now, the coaches? How do you feel that the coaches are doing right now with the team?
That's a good question. Obviously, because of all the controversy, if you want to call it that, with the aggressive play calling, the fourth downs, you know, I think they're doing it phenomenal. I mean, the record speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that way. And one thing it's a lot of people don't realize is, like, this is a concept in racing, like motocross racing.
Oh.
It's a lot easier to, in a lot of ways, from second place to catch first, because you can see what they're doing. You can follow their line. You can get up ahead. When you're in first place and you're in the lead, it's all mental, because you're trying to anticipate. Like, you have to find that balance between making changes that are going to keep the person behind you off balance, but without making a change that is a big mistake, if that makes sense.
Wow.
And
yeah.
So I think that's where they're at. And people don't, all the critics that are talking about how they're, you know, they should be not calling it here or there, not being at quite as aggressive. It's like, well, that's fine, but that's, you know, you guys have probably talked about, but it's like, this is the play calling that got you there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great take, man. Especially like last week, we played Thursday night, first game of the week. We don't know what the other teams are going to do or how they're going to iron out. So that's a great viewpoint on that.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. For those listeners that don't know, I invited Kurt because he is a professional X Games motocross racer. Not many people know because they don't see his face under the helmet. But
I did used to ride motocross, but
he's humble about it. He's humble about it.
Humble.
No, that's a really good take because, you know, it's a difficult position right now that the Lions are in to stay motivated. Forget who I was listening to, but when you're at the top, like they are right now, what are they, 12-1 or I think the record is 12. Yeah. So they've got, you know, Philadelphia right behind them, Minnesota right behind them. It's hard, like you're saying. That analogy makes it perfect to understand that it's difficult to keep the guys going. But, dude, Dan Campbell, the way he gets these people pumped, all these guys, is not only his players, but his coaches too. It's incredible that they can keep this, like, momentum going.
Not to throw you out, did you hear, remember, like, this was weeks ago when the Cowboys – after the Cowboys game, when Governor Chris Christie,
Governor,
when he made that comment about, he's like, oh, Dan Campbell, he's a jerk, and was giving him crap about like running up the score,
right? Yeah,
I just, it's so funny to me because it's like people want, it's like everyone roots for the underdog until they start winning. And then it's like, well, you're supposed to win this way. And it's like, well, if I were to do things the way you want to, I wouldn't be winning.
Right.
You know, and it's there is that you know how many games, especially in college, how many games do you see where they let the gas off, right? A team is dominating and they let the gas off and
second
then
half.
Comes back in like one quarter. And it's like, you can't. You got to have that like kill them or nothing mentality. Yeah. And some people don't like it because they're losing.
Agree with you, bro. And it's just like, it's the identity of the team. It's not just like a strategy. It's who these guys are. Like it, like you said, it's like it's full gas or nothing. Mm-hmm. They don't know any other way. So,
well, look at some of the games last year. Is the Saints game, which you scored 20 points in the first 4 minutes, and then you're hanging on the fourth quarter because you haven't, like you say, you take the foot off the gas. And so he's like, hey, and that's what this year's all about, is it taking more. So they know it takes more of everything, more points, more energy, more gutsy play calls. They know what's up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. After last year, you know, they make it to the NFC Championship. I'm like, dude, how are they going to top this? Like, how are they going to get better? And we're sitting here right now. If we win this weekend, we're possibly the best record in franchise history. So, Kurt, which position group do you think has shown the most improvement, maybe considering from last year to this year?
That is a good question. I mean, maybe just the obvious one is like the secondary.
Yeah.
Although it hasn't, it's definitely had its shortcomings, but just the fact that they addressed it in the draft. And you know, Terrion Arnold, I know he's the most penalized guy in the league, but he's getting better. And you can tell he's hungry. Like wants that interception. There's been a couple plays where he's like in his own head about it. And that's what you want to see, where he's judging his own performance as opposed to like how the game's going. That's what I would say is like that back end secondary. And it's hard to argue that the backups and the practice squad guys that have come in for linebacker, that mid field of them stepping up has been huge.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I like how he's embracing Detroit. You know, a lot of people, when you get drafted to the state of Michigan, they all get made fun of because they're gonna have to deal with the snow. But you know, him on his social media and stuff, he just bought his new winter coat today, I guess, his first winter coat. So it's just cool seeing his him embracing the city, embracing the state, and embracing the cold, and love playing here. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of that rookie, I was listening to Aaron Glenn talk about his defense, and he talked about how Terrion Arnold, he had, you know, the coach admits that they've put him in one of the most difficult assignments and positions by our defense playing the most man coverage. Mm-hmm. And to put a rookie, you know, in man coverage on, think about all the opponents we played and top wide receivers, you know, just like Minnesota, you know, Justin Jefferson. And if you compare Terrion Arnold to like the next best defensive back, which was, who was it that went to the Eagles, Mitchell? Or is who's that? He was from a smaller school and went to the Eagles. Not C.J. Gardner-Johnson. It was the rookie that just got drafted this year. But anyhow, they were considered the top two guys. And Terrion has played double the amount of man coverage and kept quarterback ratings in the 70s. So he has had a really tough assignment to do, and he's been solid. Like, sure, he's been handsy, but it's like we made a point in a different podcast. Last year, dude, Cameron Sutton and Vildor, they were nowhere in sight. Like, at least he's there.
Yeah. Right. Good point.
At least he's there, and he can hopefully just cut down and fix the hand. So, I mean, speaking of Terrion Arnold, but is there a player that you've kind of noticed, Kurt, that maybe has gone underrated this season, that maybe he's not talked about enough, that you see?
That's a good question. It's a good question because I feel like a lot of the players that I thought, especially from last year, that didn't maybe get enough credit or underrated, I feel like they've been getting pretty Jack Fox. That's his name, right? Punter?
Yeah.
Me all last year, I was singing his praises. I'm like, dude, do you understand what he's doing? Like, he's putting them in such bad, like, the field position, that how much that affects the game. It's those little things. But I feel like he's, you know, when you watch some of those post games, Dan Campbell in the locker room when they win, you know, Fox has gotten quite a few game balls. Yeah. I would say, you know, it's probably one of the typical, like, an offensive lineman, defensive lineman. They always go under. Maybe Muhammad on defense.
Yeah.
I feel like he's in a lot of plays and they don't really talk about him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably if I were to choose one person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. What do you think, Clay?
I think just the players have stepped up really during all these injuries. And some of them you can't even name, right? They're just off. Feels like they're off the street. But everybody who just really got through these injuries, games that you thought we should lose because we don't have anybody left, and we're still at one loss, which is just, and it all goes back to what Kurt said, just with the grit and the locker room. I've never seen a Lions team or a Lions coach that have the locker room that Dan Campbell has. Like, Dan Campbell has the full trust of the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Win, lose, making a gutsy call, even after last year for San Fran, a lot of people could have just left and said they don't want to deal with that. They all came back. They're all about it. They supported it. And I was talking to a buddy today too. Something that we haven't really mentioned in this whole organizational change is Spielman, man. When they brought Spielman into the front office and brought up, like, that's when you're like, this is different. This is different. So,
yeah, for sure.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I think Spielman was like a cornerstone in the front office of being able to get everyone else. Like, he had a huge say in hiring Dan Campbell because he knew what a good coach would look like. So, that's awesome. So, I think one of the players that we haven't really talked about at all, even on the podcast, that I think has been just so steady is Graham Glasgow, dude. Like, at left guard, he, you know, he's filled in at center when Frank has been out. I think they switched him to right guard for one game when Zeitler was out. And then, you know, Dan Skipper had one of his best games this last week at left tackle with Decker out. But, you know, I started thinking and, like, looking at the replays of, like, why Dan Skipper has done so well is he's got Graham Glasgow right next to him whether it's like coaching, he's like, he can call protections as a backup center too at left guard. So he's like a second brainiac with Frank, with, you know, calling those protections out, which has helped Goff, helped the run game, helped the offense. So I appreciate what Glasgow has done this year.
He would have been my second person. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It was awesome when we got him back. I was so happy that, you know, after leaving Detroit during a bad time, he decided to come back.
Yep.
Decided to come back. So Kurt, we see it's been difficult in the NFC North because we got Minnesota trailing right behind us, just one win or one loss behind us, and Green Bay has given us fits. It seems like we might see one of those two in the playoffs. But how do you see the Lions stacking up against these NFC North rivals? Throw in Chicago in there too if you want, but how do you see us stacking up against them?
Chicago's the one funny one because it was so funny that everyone was like, well, Detroit played them. If you noticed, Detroit dropped in the power rankings on so many shows after the Chicago game. And I'm like, they literally played the Vikings and the Packers to a close, almost win game. So why didn't they get affected? But anyway,
yeah,
about the whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Vikings surprised me because they were on like that 5-game win streak after the 2-game loss. And I was like, but you know, you look at the record and it was all kind of fluff, not very good teams, but it's like, but you still got to win. So that, it, you know, kudos to them. But then, man, now I'm drawing a blank here. When they beat, what were the last 2 games?
They played the Cardinals, and they barely escaped the Cardinals game.
Yeah, they barely escaped that. Yeah, they had a couple games where I'm like, okay, those teams are doing a little bit better. So they're kind of hard to gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we played them close too.
And I feel like Falcons lost the game rather than Vikings won that game.
Yeah.
Like, Falcons have played awful. Like,
yeah.
The Falcons are – like if I were a Falcons fan, I'd be so frustrated. So because they're right there, like you get Kirk Cousins and you've seen him, like even last year he almost got the Vikings to the play. It's frustrating. So I feel like we are, you know, if someone made it a good example of like the difference between the Packers and probably even I would group the Vikings in difference between Packers, Vikings, between the Lions is like the difference between very good and great. And I think that's what it is. The Lions are on all cylinders are going, and I feel like Vikings, Packers, there's some cylinders are not quite there, and when they are, the other one isn't, that sort of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's kind of like Michigan and Ohio State where, you know, they know each other so well. They like, you know, Ohio State's been trying to mimic how Michigan plays. And that's exactly how this NFC North has shaken out. The Packers have tried to play heavy. Vikings have tried to get players to play heavier as well. Granted, they've got some great wide receivers there to air it out, but it's been close. Every single time these guys meet, like we were just talking about the Bears and Vikings or Bears and Packers, it's been such a close game that come playoff time, I do get a little nervous if we have to play one of those two teams.
And I still stand by last year, even knowing that we lost to San Fran in San Francisco, and the loss still hurts, but I'd still rather go out there than play Green Bay at home.
Mm-hmm.
Just the fact of if you lose that game, it could just demoralize your...
If
you win the game, it's great, but if you do, I just didn't want to have a negative... If you lose that game, like... It's like the little brother thing, you know, Green Bay be like, hey, congratulations on winning the division, but we won the NFC championship in your house and we're going to the Super Bowl and you're not. Like that could just be, it just seemed like all the progress we last made last year could have been lost really quick if you lose that game.
That's true.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, we'll see what happens come playoff time, but we're definitely expecting a Lions Super Bowl people.
Hey,
gonna see him in New Orleans. That's for sure.
Whoa, there it is.
All right. Well, people called, you know, people play the, sorry about that. Went on loop. People are listening to this for a Bills Lions preview. So let's talk the game, guys. What are we expecting for our offense this Sunday? How do you think the offense is going to look, Kurt, against this Bills defense?
Ooh, that is a good question. This has been even from the beginning of the season, this has been a tough question. And especially recently, you know, they have that big blow, like the shootout with the Rams. And then the Rams play last night and scored 9 points or whatever. Well, but whenever it's divisional games, it's like anything goes. So even though it's San Francisco right now, it kind of throws it out, for me at least.
I
feel like it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
It's going to be another shootout. The Bills offense, and when you watch them, I've watched them like a few, because they've had a lot of primetime games, so most people, they're so good. Like, Josh Allen is just, man, he's such a force to be reckoned with. And the only way, I think, is to beat them is kind of like what the Rams just did. You just got to shoot out, and you have to be right ahead of them and capitalize on their mistakes.
Yeah. I definitely think we need defensive turnover. Like the Rams, they had that block punt for a touchdown that ended up being the game difference, really, in the points to stop Josh Allen. Because honestly, you know, I think he is the MVP. Like, he's doing some crazy stuff. He's playing, and it's like he hasn't been sacked in the last three games. And it's not just the offensive line. It's like he's a big, heavy guy that's tough to bring down, and he runs really well. So, and you know, he keeps the play alive, and you know, he can get creative, and so yeah, he's been tough.
No interceptions. I mean, like, he's way less than last year.
Yeah,
what I remember. Yeah,
yeah, he's been doing a lot better in that area. I did learn earlier this week that the Bills play a lot of nickel. A lot of defensive backs with a light box. So maybe Ben Johnson takes advantage of that, runs the ball more. So I'm hoping that we have these long drives, you know, running with Jameer and running with Montgomery to keep Josh Allen off the field. That's what I want to see. Keep him off the field, get these 9-minute, 10-minute drives down the field and score, and see if you can get some kind of turnover or something.
Yep. I agree. I think that's the best way to beat guys like Mahomes and Josh Allen is by keep them on the bench. You make them frustrated that they're sitting there on the bench, you know, getting their head a little bit and rewarding the defense. Like they say, the defense gets out there and gets a turnover or gets a stop. Offense got to reward that, you know, and just really play off each other and the momentum of that. Keep Ford Field rocking, man. So,
oh, it'll be rocking, bro. I think with the black uniforms and, like Clay, you were mentioning that if you looked on social media, they blacked out the Lions logo. It's going to look sick, man. I can't wait to see it.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I know the players love being in the all black unis. They look good.
Yeah.
They look good. Well, how about the defense? What does the defense need to do? I know they mentioned today that we possibly might be getting a lot of guys back. I think Pascal, Reeder, Ali McNeil. Who was the other guy that might be coming back?
Decker's supposed to be back while here, but that's offense.
Okay. Decker.
Right.
Yep. So what do you think the defense has to do against Josh Allen and the Bills?
Well, you know, the obvious thing is like you got to try to contain him as much as you can. And there's strategies to do it. And if you're getting some key player, like if McNeil is coming back, you can get pressure with less guys.
Yeah.
And so just making sure QB spy, not letting him get that 20-yard run up the middle when when he has nothing and he can just run up, try to have somebody on him and then keep the outsides safe as possible. You know, they're going to be tricky and switch it up on him, but if they can try to contain him and get pressure with less guys, because if they can't, it's going to start unraveling and turn into whatever, but That's what I would think.
Yeah. What do you think, Clay?
I agree, man. We know Lions history with running quarterbacks. If you know, if Josh Allen gets loose, he could have a he can get some yardage. So that's what I'm most concerned about, is just wrapping up Josh Allen and not letting him take off on you.
Yeah.
And just heartbreaking drives, you know, like you said, you got him down for 3rd and 12 and he let him get you loose for 20. Those kind of things can break you down.
Yeah,
they definitely can. So the Lions are the top offense in the league in scoring. Do you guys know who the second highest scoring offense is? Take a wild guess.
I'm guessing the Bills, just throwing out there.
Probably Bills, yeah.
Yes, it is the Bills. Okay. But the funny thing I found out is how the Bills play a very similar game as the Lions do, because they play a lot of play action, right? Uh-huh. Off the run. They've been running it good with James Cook. And another similarity is they distribute the ball really well. I know Amari Cooper is like their wide receiver one, but you know, Josh will distribute it all over. So what I was going to mention is, with Reader and Aleem back, those guys are clogs down the middle. I think they should be able to limit their rushing with James Cook. And at the same time, you know, these our team practices every week, and that gives our defense kind of an advantage. Like, they're used to playing this type of offense. And with all the people that we're getting back, I think it'll be a shootout, but I think, like, I still feel good about my hot take. So earlier this week, Kurt, my hot take was that we were going to win by a difference of 9+. But with the additions we're getting back from injury, I feel kind of good about that hot take.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially at a 425 game. I think that kind of it makes a difference a little bit with a big game like this.
Yeah,
you know, kind of like with college football, you have a big game and you have it at noon. It just the momentum is just not there. You know, it's noon. Mm-hmm. So I think Detroit's gonna be riled up and tailgating, and I think the roof at Ford Field is gonna want to pop off, man. So I think they're gonna be ready.
It's gonna be cinema, man. It is gonna be a playoff game in Detroit on Sunday. I feel it.
I hope it's not like the Ravens last year, where it was a weird mismatch.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, and that's kind of like, in all respect to the AFC teams that we played so far. But this is the biggest AFC team, obviously, that it's on our schedule. So this will really, it's a good measuring game for where we're at. And you can win or lose. Hopefully, I think we can win it. You just take something from it. You learn a lot from it. You have film on it. So,
mm-hmm. I think you bring up a good point, Clay. I like that we're playing the Bills this week in the season, like a little bit before the playoffs, to give us, like you said, that litmus test that we'll be able to see what we can expect against a top tier team, how we do come playoff time.
Yep.
So I'm really looking forward to this one. And as you guys have noticed, we don't have our full crew with us. Shout out to Plax. He's out there somewhere working. And my boy Caleb, too. He's out there providing for the family. But Caleb did send us a speak pipe. So just a reminder to everyone, we're happy to take any questions, any comments. If you find us on speak pipe, we are the you can send it to allgritpodcast@gmo.com. Just go to speak pipe. Or you can find the link on one of our social media handles like Instagram. But let's listen to Caleb's speak pipe for this week.
All right, boys. I can't make it to the pod tonight. However, I wanted to get a quick bold take in, even though we've already done our bold takes for the week. So I've been listening to radio all day, and it is getting me hyped. It is getting me excited. And with that, it comes the healthiness of the defensive line. You know, we got Anzarike coming back. We got Reader coming back. We got O'Neal coming back. We got Pascal coming back. We got the offensive line, Decker, coming back. Boys, you know what I'm about to do. Adrian had a bold take for a 9+ point victory. Yes. Adrian, I hate to do this, but I'm going to one-up you, my brother. My bold take for this Sunday, Bills at Lions, is Lions by 11. I'm out, boy. Okay. Enjoy the pod. Can't wait to listen.
Udo.
Dang, man.
All right.
Well, okay. Caleb. Dropping a hot take, bro. 11 points. What do you guys think? Is that too hot? Is that flaming?
Hey, man, I like it, man. If you have a lead in the fourth quarter and you stop them and you put the dagger in them and you get 11 or, you know, 13 or so, I like it.
Yeah.
We'll have the lead in the fourth quarter and we'll get a good big stop.
Yeah.
And put it out. Or you just have a 13-point lead in the fourth quarter. I'll take that.
Yeah, if in the fourth quarter we're up, we can take control of that game and just bleed the clock. We have that ability on offense, so it's not too far off. What do you think, Kurt? Do you have a bold take or a hot take for this game?
No, that's not that crazy when you consider this hot take. End of the second quarter, right before halftime, Josh Allen blows his ACL out. Then he's out of a paycheck. His new fiance leaves him. He's out of the game. Lions run roughshod the rest of the game. 30 points.
Oh, man.
Maybe not. No, but
I don't know.
Probably blow his Achilles in the second or third quarter, I would say. Solid.
Bro, if that happens, we'll you heard it here first.
Right.
Bill season done.
It could happen.
Yeah, you're right. It could happen. Especially if he's running out of the pocket and Jet Campbell's just spearheading, Brian Branch.
It's funny because like 5 years ago, I had a feeling because of the way, Arian Foster. He had an injury, and I was playing fantasy football, and I was joking around with my roommate, and I was like, the way he's been running and against it, and he was playing the Cardinals, and I was like, Cardinals are playing rough. Patrick Peterson, that dude is like blasting people. I was like, Arian Foster, he's going to like sprain his ankle or something, out two games. And he literally hurt his ankle and was out for like 3 weeks. I was like, I'm never doing that again. Never doing that again. And now I just did it. So,
and yet here we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Here we go. We're
That's a hot take.
All right. Well, we'll put it on the board and see if you're right after that. Kurt, we'll give you a shout out if that happens. I don't think Bills fans will be happy with you, but
well, they're never happy.
Well, we're not hoping it happens, but
right, healthy finish, man.
Just put that disclaimer there. We're not hoping this happens.
I do not hope that happens. Good reminder.
All right, awesome, man. Well, thanks for joining us, Kurt. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You got any business or anything you want to promote? People listen on the pod.
Nope, I'm good. Clean it up. Say a prayer and end this thing. Step Ahead Renovations. My cousin and I, family run operation. We do all sorts of stuff. Mostly we do flooring, tile showers. So if you ever need anything, give us a shout. Step Ahead Renovations. We're on Instagram. We have a website, Facebook. All the usual suspects of how you can reach someone.
Awesome, man. And they can just look up Step Ahead Renovations on any one of those socials.
Yep.
Awesome. Cool. So hire Kurt for your next renovation. Maybe he can bring his Lions hat.
Yes. It'll awesome, look better than my Lions hat while my work.
We got to get you a new one. We got to get you an all grit podcast.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man.
We'll have to hook you up and send you one, man.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining, bro.
Yeah,
would you say, Clay?
I said thanks for coming by, bro. It's good hanging out with you, and look forward to talking to you soon, man.
For sure.
Yes, sir. Well, thanks for joining, Kurt. Thank you to all our loyal listeners. Let's hope for a good win this weekend versus the Bills. You know where we're at. We're the All Grit Podcast.